Welcome back. Today for our lesson, we have some scriptures where Isaiah prophesies by the Holy Spirit about the world rocking, about the world being shaken by God to its very foundations. So we're really grateful to have you here, all of you here, regardless of what background or Christian tradition or non-Christian tradition you come from. We're really glad because God is going to speak to us and we are going to gain something from this time of prayer. Let us begin always, as always, with the invitatory, a part of the office that the church hopes we will just relax, listen to the prayers, and kind of snap out of our daily life. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. I will add in, even though usually you only have to say one opening, Lord, open my lips, or God, come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Comfort, comfort now, my people. Tell of peace, so says our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning under sorrow's load. To God's people now proclaim that God's pardon waits for them. Tell them that their war is over. God will reign in peace forever. For the herald's voice is crying in the desert far and near, calling us to true repentance, since the kingdom now is here. Oh, that warning cry obey. Now prepare for Christ away. Let the valleys rise to meet him, and the hills bow down to greet him. Straight shall be what long was crooked, and the rougher places plain. Let your hearts be true and humble, as befits his holy reign. For the Lord, glory of the Lord on earth is shed abroad, and all flesh shall see the token that God's word is never broken. And I love these psalms that we're going to pray. The antiphon is, surrender to God and he will do everything for you. We're going to pray Psalm 37 and the sentence from scripture or tradition the church gives us to kind of open up this meaning and apply it to our lives is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. So it immediately takes us to Jesus' teaching of the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not envy those who do evil, for they wither quickly like grass and fade like the green of the fields. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you, is what I'm going to repeat after each strophe. If you trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live in the land and be secure. If you find your delight in the Lord, he will grant your heart's desire. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. Commit your life to the Lord, trust him, and he will act, so that your justice breaks forth like the light, your cause like the noonday sun. Surrender to God, and he will do everything for you. Be still before the Lord and wait in patience. Do not fret at the man who prospers, a man who makes evil plots to bring down the needy and the poor. Surrender to God and He will do everything for you. Calm your anger and forget your rage. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who do evil shall perish. The patient shall inherit the land. A little while and the wicked shall have gone. Look at his place, he is not there. But the humble shall own the land and enjoy the fullness of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Surrender to God, and He will do everything for you. Antiphon 2. Turn away from evil. Learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey Him. The wicked man plots against the just and gashes his teeth against him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He sees that his day is at hand. The sword of the wicked is drawn. His bow is bent to slaughter the upright. Their sword shall pierce their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken to pieces. The just man's few possessions are better than the wicked man's wealth. For the power of the wicked shall be broken, and the Lord will support the just. He protects the lives of the upright. Their heritage will last forever. They shall not be put to shame in evil days. In time of famine their food shall not fail. All the wicked shall perish, and all the enemies of the Lord. They are like the beauty of the meadows. They shall vanish like smoke. The wicked man borrows without repaying, but the just man is generous and gives. Those blessed by the Lord shall own the land, but those he has cursed shall be destroyed. The Lord guides the steps of a man and makes safe the path of the one he loves. Though he stumble, he shall never fall, for the Lord holds him by the hand. I was young and now I am old, but I have never seen the just man forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. All the day he is generous and lends, and his children become a blessing. Then turn away from evil and do good, and you shall have a home forever. For the Lord loves justice and will never forsake his friends. The unjust shall be wiped out forever, and the children of the wicked destroyed. The just shall inherit the land. There they shall live forever. Turn away from evil. Learn to do God's will. The Lord will strengthen you if you obey him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. And this is the third part of that same Psalm 37. The just man's mouth utters wisdom, and his lips speak what is right. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps will be saved from stumbling. The wicked man watches for the just and seeks occasion to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his power, nor let him be condemned when he is judged. Then wait for the Lord, keep to his way. It is he who will free you from the wicked, raise you up to possess the land, and see the wicked destroyed. I have seen the wicked triumphant, towering like a cedar of Lebanon. I passed by again, he was gone. I searched, he was nowhere to be found. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. See the just man, mark the upright. For the peaceful man a future lies in store, but sinners shall all be destroyed. No future lies in store for the wicked. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord, their stronghold in time of distress. The Lord helps them and delivers them, and saves them, for their refuge is in him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord my God, when things aren't going well, I worry so much. I worry about money, I worry about life. So we pray that you, who pronounce the poor to be blessed, will again look after us, just as the psalmist prays, that you will make everything turn out to be better and defend us against all threats and assaults. Teach us to entrust our lives to you, to wait on the Holy Spirit's guidance, and to surrender to you, knowing that even though we may feel like we have it under control, we need our Father's guidance. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Wait for the Lord to lead, then follow in his way. Since we missed a reading from Isaiah, we'll have two readings from Isaiah this morning. The verse introduced in our lesson is, Lord, show us your mercy and love, and grant us your salvation. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 24, verses 1 through 18, the coming of the Lord on that day is the caption. Lo, the Lord empties the land and lays it waste. He turns it upside down, scattering its inhabitants, layman and priest alike, servant and master, the maid as her mistress, the buyer as the seller, the lender as the borrower, the creditor as the debtor. The earth is utterly laid waste, utterly stripped, for the Lord has decreed this thing. The earth mourns and fades. The world languishes and fades. Both heaven and earth languish. The earth is polluted because of its inhabitants, who have transgressed laws, violated statutes, broken the ancient covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants pay for their guilt. Therefore, they who dwell on earth shall turn pale, and few men are left. Or rather, therefore, they who dwell on earth turn pale, and few men are left, not shall. The wine mourns, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted groan. Stilled are the cheerful timbrels, ended the shouts of the jubilant. Stilled is the cheerful harp. They cannot sing and drink wine. Strong drink is bitter to those who partake of it. Broken down is the city of chaos, shut against every entry, every house. In the streets, they cry out for lack of wine. All joy has disappeared, and cheer has left the land. In the city, nothing remains but ruin. Its gates are battered and desolate. Thus it is within the land and among the peoples, as with an olive tree after it is beaten, as with a gleaning when the vintage is done. These lift up their voice and acclaim. From the sea they proclaim the majesty of the Lord. For this in the coastlands give glory to the Lord, in the coastlands of the sea, to the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. From the end of the earth we hear songs, splendor to the just one. But as I said, I am wasted, wasted away. Woe is to me. The traitors betray. With treachery have the traitors betrayed. Terror and pit and trap are upon you, inhabitant of the earth. He who flees at the sound of terror will fall into the pit. He who climbs out of the pit will be caught in the trap. For the windows on high will be opened, and the foundations of the earth will shake. And we continue that same thing, picking up at verse 19. The caption is, the kingdom of God, thanksgiving. On that day, the earth will burst asunder. The earth will be shaken apart. The earth will be convulsed. The earth will reel like a drunkard, and it will sway like a hut. Its rebellion will weigh it down until it falls, never to arise again. On that day, the Lord will punish the hosts of the heavens in the heavens, and the kings of the earth on the earth. They will be gathered together like prisoners into a pit. They will be shut up in a dungeon, and after many days, they will be punished. Then the moon will blush, and the sun grow pale. For the Lord of armies will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, glorious in the sight of his elders. O Lord, you are my God. I will extol you and praise your name, for you have fulfilled your wonderful plans of old, faithful and true. You have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The castle of the insolent is a city no more, nor ever to be rebuilt. Therefore, a strong people will honor you. Fierce nations will fear you, for you are a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in distress. Shelter from the rain, shade from the heat, as with the cold rain, as with the desert heat. Even so you quell the uproar of the wanton. Responsory prayer. O Lord, you are my God. I will extol you and praise your name, because you fulfilled your wondrous plans. For you are a refuge for the poor man and a shelter for the needy man in his distress, because you fulfilled your wondrous plans. Let us read our second reading from a treatise on the ascent of Mount Carmel by St. John of the Cross, priest. Under the ancient law, prophets and priests sought from God revelations and visions, which indeed they needed, for faith had as yet no firm foundation, and the gospel law had not yet been established. Their seeking and God's responses were necessary. He spoke to them at once through words and visions and revelations, at another in signs and symbols. But however he responded and what he said and revealed were mysteries of our holy faith, either partial glimpses of the whole or sure movements toward it. But now that faith is rooted in Christ and the law of the gospel has been proclaimed in this time of grace, there is no need to seek him in the former manner, nor for him to respond, but giving us as he did his Son, his only word. He has, in the one word, said everything. There is no need for further revelation. This is the true meaning of Paul's words to the Hebrews, when he urged them to abandon their earlier ways of conversing with God, as laid down in the law of Moses, and to set their eyes on Christ alone. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the holy prophets in various ways and manners. But now in our own times, the last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. In effect, Paul is saying that God has spoken so completely through his own word that he chooses to add nothing. Although he had spoken but partially through the prophets, he has now said everything in Christ. He has given us everything, his own Son. Therefore, anyone who wished to question God or to seek some new vision or revelation from him would commit an offense. For instead of focusing his eyes entirely on Christ, he would be desiring something other than Christ or beyond him. God would then answer, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In my word, I have already said everything. Fix your eyes on him alone, for in him I have revealed all, and in him you will find more than you could ever ask for or desire. I, with my Holy Spirit, came down upon him on Mount Tabor and declared, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' You do not need new teachings or new way or ways of learning from me. For when I spoke before, it was of Christ who was to come. And when they sought anything of me, they were seeking and hoping for the Christ, in whom is every good, as the whole teaching of the evangelists and apostles clearly testifies." Responsory prayer. Many nations will come and say, "Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the home of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths." The Messiah, who is called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will teach us everything. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. Our Lady of Loreto, collect prayer. O God, who fulfilling the promise made to our fathers, chose the Blessed Virgin Mary to become the mother of the Savior, grant that we may follow her example, for her humility was pleasing to you, and her obedience profitable to us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks, and we'll stick around for a very brief reflection. So again, John of the Cross expresses that tremendous confidence in the tradition of the Church, in the revelation of Christ that he feels is perfectly contained and embodied and handed on from generation to generation, which is why he discourages people from just seeking after these kind of private revelations of God. But it's just important to note right off the bat that even though the revelation that we have been given in Christ may be full and complete, it has yet, as the Church says, even, you know, it has yet to be fully explained and fully interpreted. So it's not entirely true that we no longer need to seek God, we no longer need to consult God, we no longer need methods. That part is really not fully true. But again, sometimes it's important to emphasize that, you know, even the papacy itself, even the magisterium itself is a way of consulting God. It's a way in which we discern the ongoing conversation that is going on between the Holy Spirit and the Church. So yes, you'll never surpass Christ. You'll never get another Bible other than Christ's Bible that we've put together. But at the same time, many things in that Bible will still need to be clarified. And we're not talking about like the Mormons who do a backflip on their doctrine every 20 years or something, but we're talking about there are legitimately many, many questions that come up, new life situations, and we need those interpretations. So again, I stress much more than John of the Cross the conversation being ongoing in the church between the Holy Spirit and the church. And I will point out that as teachers of the church, we need to kneel down, we need to have a kneeling theology, and we need to pray, place more emphasis on the devotions and the revelations and the prophecies, rather than just thinking, okay, I have enough, I have theology classes in the Bible, I have enough. We need to relearn how to listen to that conversation again and again in the church today. But I remember one time I had this in a Divine Office online, and there was this one fellow, persecuted Christian overseas, and I didn't comment on anything like I'm doing now, but he said that reading this reading from St. John of the Cross helped him resolve his own feelings and worries, and he started speaking to me that, you know, he was telling me about how much this reading had really helped him, because he was seeking after some type of response for God regarding certain personal issues, and, you know, John of the Cross's words helped change his focus, they helped change his life. So it just goes to show how powerful this is, sacred scripture in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And just to finish, I'd like to read paragraph 94 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Thanks to the assistance of the Holy Spirit, the understanding of both the realities and the words of the heritage of faith is able to grow in the life of the Church. Through the so there's three ways that are marked down, bullet points. Through the contemplation and study of believers who ponder these things in their hearts, it is in particular theological research which deepens knowledge of revealed truth. From the intimate sense of spiritual realities which believers experience, the sacred scriptures grow with the one who reads them. From the preaching of those who have received, along with their right of succession to the episcopate, the sure charism of truth, which means the charism of infallibility, and we'll talk about that some other time. It doesn't mean that the bishop is always speaking the truth. Okay, so, and that's a quote from Vatican II. This one tidies around John of the Cross's point pretty well. This is paragraph 102. Through all the words of sacred scripture, God speaks only one single word, his one utterance in whom he expresses himself completely. And it has a quote, "You recall that one and the same word of God extends throughout scripture, and it is one and the same utterance that resounds in the mouths of all the same, of all the sacred writers, since he who was in the beginning God and with God has no need of separate syllables, for he is not subject to time." That was a quote from St. Augustine of Hippo. I think that we will address even more gradually in our little catechesis after the Divine Office. And thank you for coming today.